Good evening. It's about time to get started. We'll start with number 230, Worthy Art Thou. Our first song will be number 230, Worthy Art Thou.
Worthy of praises, Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor, and power, worthy of all our soul's adoration, worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving, worthy art thou.
Next song will be hymn number 458, number 458. Following this song, we'll have our opening prayer.
Oh,
go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus down on the cross for our sins. Father, thank you for this wonderful weather. Thank you for all those that participated in the EdCon and helped set all that up for the kids. Father, thank you for the fellowship that we have together. Father, we ask that you be with all those that are on the prayer list, Father. There are so many. Be with those that are not on the prayer list as you know their needs. Father, be with Tim as he brings us a lesson this evening. Let's depart and come back to you at the next point in time. Father, give us wisdom, give us direction. God, guard and protect us. Father, be with all those that are suffering in the world, those that are being persecuted in your name, and let them come to know rest. Be with those that are persecuting, Father, and let them come to know you. Father, we ask all these things in your Son's name. Forgive us our many sins. Amen.
If you are using a hymn book, place your marker at number 922. Jesus Paid It All will be our song of encouragement this evening, number 922. And once you have your marker there, if you would, turn over to number 716. If you're using a hymn book, we're singing number 716. If you would stand as we sing this song before the lesson this evening.
It is Bible story time tonight, so if you have ones headed to Bible story time, it is now that time. I'll be reading tonight's scripture out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It'll be the first five verses, and I'll read out of the ESV version. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction. Just as it has come to pass, and just as you know, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain.
Good evening. Good to see each of you with us this evening. We have had a great day. Blessed with wonderful weather, blessed with wonderful worship this morning and again this evening, blessed with a great fellowship meal after morning worship. And we want to thank Melissa and Joe Jacobs for orchestrating all of that. They had plenty of help, but they recently took on the duties of making sure everything was ready with that. And then also the egg hunt out in the field a while ago. Wow, what a great event that was. I didn't find any eggs, but it was still a good time for me. And I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 were there. Maybe not that many, but there were a lot of people out there. And thanks to Lucy and Perry Jernigan and all of their family for pitching in to make that happen. And just a great day. It is such a great day, and it is such a blessing to be a part of the Lord's family, and this family in particular. We love this family, and we love you, and we're thankful that you're here with us this evening. We have a good number, in spite of the fact there's been so many things going on today, and we're thankful for all of you who are joining us online. I know there are several of you that are watching and listening to it, and will watch and listen to it later. But we're just very thankful to have this opportunity. I've been given 3 or 4 different prayer requests, and we're going to mention those briefly and then take a bit to go to God in prayer on their behalf. Just got an email from Jan Bennett that Marcella Bennett, who has been a member of the church at Cherokee for many years, passed away yesterday. She had just found that out. And Marcella and her husband James were a very big part of that church, and Jan asked us that we pray for the family. Also, Cheryl Whitted let me know this afternoon that she's having hip surgery tomorrow in Knoxville, I believe it is, and she asked for our prayers that all will go well for that. Also, found out this evening that Rick Davis had surgery a few days ago, and he's in a good bit of discomfort, pain. He had a new pain pump put in, and he also had carpal tunnel surgery the same day. And that's what's giving him the most problem, is the carpal tunnel surgery. And Marie has asked us that we would pray for Rick, that all would go well with him and that he would get relief. And then this morning, Caleb Gerard submitted a prayer request for the people of Haiti. And you probably know that there's just chaos in Haiti right now. Gangs have taken over the running of the country. It's mayhem. We have a lot of brethren in Haiti, and used to, we sent several medical teams down there. We've not done that in many years, but the Cromie's daughter and her husband are working with a group down there. And so we want to pray for that work and for the people in Haiti in general, but lots to pray for. So let's start out by going to God in prayer. Our God and our Father, we do praise you, Lord, for so many reasons. You are the creator. You created sunshine and flowers and blue skies and grass. And Father, you've just given us so many good gifts. And the greatest, of course, is your son, Jesus, who gave his life so that we might be forgiven of our sins. And Father, we pray that we might always look to him and look to you, and may we know that you're with us, guiding us and helping us in all that we do. And thank you for this privilege of coming into your presence by prayer. And Lord, we want to pray for these that we have mentioned. We pray, Father, that you will bless each of them. We pray that you'll be with the family of Marcella Bennett as they mourn her passing. We pray that you will be with Rick Davis as he recovers from the surgery, that he might be given relief from the pain that is so strong right now. We pray for Cheryl as she gets ready for surgery tomorrow. We pray that that will go well and there will be no complications at all. And Father, for the people of Haiti, we pray that you will bless them and help there to be order to be restored on that island nation. And Father, for so many others that we've mentioned, that we've talked about, we pray for Betty Justice, the mother of Jacqueline Ellis. We've not heard an update, Father. We assume that she is still under comfort care. And Father, we pray that you'll watch over her and bless her with peace and be with Jacqueline and the family and help them, Lord. And just so many others, Lord. I know I've not come close to mentioning everyone, but you know the needs, Father. You know them, you care, and we just pray that you'll bless each of us, Father, in the way that you know is best. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now let's get our Bibles open and get into the Word of God. Hope you've got your Bible with you and ready to follow along. I will mention the passage that I'll be reading from a moment or two before I begin reading, and I hope by the time I start, you'll be there and you'll see that this is the Word of God. And if it isn't, let me know. I don't need to be talking about it if it's not God's Word. But let's see what the Lord has given us. You know, sometimes strangers are drawn closely together because of some event or experience they have had. This, I believe, is from the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. And it shows that, you know, these men and women who are thrust into combat, total strangers maybe before they ever met on the battlefield, but now they are so closely akin. And that's happened with many things like COVID. You know, we just have a lot of things in common about COVID, I guess. But I looked on the internet, and you can get a t-shirt for a lot of those things that will say, I survived COVID, or I survived Hurricane Katrina, or something like that. One of my favorites, I'm going to be able to get it here in just a few weeks, I survived the 60s. Twice. I like that one. But we understand, you know, because we have been through that common experience, it draws us together. Even though we had nothing in common before that, that alone was what brought us together. Well, we don't find any t-shirts in Romans chapter 16, but we do find a lot of closeness. We're talking about Romans again because our young people are going to be focusing on this theme at Lads to Leaders next weekend. And I've been trying to highlight a few of the chapters and the themes. And tonight we're going to come to this chapter where we find lots of names. In fact, there are 27 individuals that are named in Romans chapter 16, many of which we have trouble pronouncing. And unless you are an expert at pronouncing them, I'm just going to say what I think it is. But we think, well, what's that got to do with me? Why are we going to talk about a list of obscure names? Well, some of them are not obscure, but there's a reason. Because Paul mentioned each of these because he loved them. Because there was a close bond between them. And there's a lesson there for us. Because we also have people with whom we should have close bonds. So let's look at Romans chapter 16. We'll go there in a little bit. But first of all, we'll begin in Acts chapter 17. So if you want to be turning there, Acts 17, and then a couple of passages in 1 Thessalonians. But we'll talk about a snapshot. Just a snapshot of Paul's intense love for his fellow Christians. Paul's intense love for his fellow Christians. Now, this is one example of many that we could mention. This one he lays out especially graphically, I think. But we need to begin in Acts 17 to put the background there. In Acts 17, Paul and Silas have come to the city of Thessalonica. And it is a place where they have very good results immediately. And here's what Luke says in Acts chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. Some of them, that is the residents of Thessalonica, were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. And so very good success, good things happening as Paul begins a work there where he had never been before. But then in verse 5, but the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. Now, why do you suppose they were wanting to bring Paul and Silas out to the crowd? Well, we're talking about wicked men. We're talking about a mob. We're talking about a city in an uproar. I can see nothing good that would come out of that. And thankfully, Paul and Silas were not in that house where they were staying in Thessalonica. And as it turns out, they took the owner of the house and a couple of other people and made them post bond, in essence agreeing that there would be nothing major to come out of this. But Paul and Silas were sent on their way. We read that a little bit later in that passage. They were gotten out of the city at night because it was dangerous for them to stay. So what began as a wonderful work, a work full of promise, now they're having to run for their lives. Now that takes us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and here Paul is writing to those people that he had to run away. You know, we taught you, you responded well, and then we had to leave all of a sudden. And he really feels bad about all of that. And here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. He said, therefore, when we could bear it no longer. We were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. You see, Paul was wondering, what did all of that uproar do to these new Christians? Did it cause them to reconsider and say, boy, I never knew I was going to get into something like that. This is not for me. I'm out of here. And that may have happened to some. But Paul said, I had to send Timothy to go and encourage you, exhort you. And he says in verse 3, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. So Paul says, I was worried. It was really eating at me. I had to know, how are my new brethren doing in Thessalonica? Well, we get an answer to that in verses 5 through 8. 1 Thessalonians 3, 5 through 8, where Paul writes this. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, that's the second time he said that in this passage, I was just agonizing. I couldn't sleep. I was stressed out. I could bear it no longer. I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith, for now we live. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. And when he says, now we live, it suggests that I was just about to die of stress. I mean, I felt like everything had been lost. I was really stressed out. But now I've heard that you are standing fast in your faith, and I live. Now, what does all that say about Paul? It says that he cared about these brethren, and he cared about them intensely. In fact, he's not like the person Jesus spoke about in John chapter 10 and verse 12. You remember there in John 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And he said this in John 10 and verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Now to be sure, Paul had to flee on that occasion. His life was in danger. But he didn't forget about them. He made arrangements for them to be encouraged and exhorted, and he sent Timothy to go and do that very job. And so Paul shows us here, he just is invested in these brethren. And interesting, when you go back to Acts 17, which you don't need to do, we're not going to read it, but in Acts 17, in verse 2, we learn he had only been there for 3 Sabbath days. 3 weeks, maybe less than 3 weeks. I don't know how you know when he got there, but about 3 weeks he was there in Thessalonica, and he had developed that kind of love for his brethren that he had never met before. Why? Because they were in Christ. Because they had responded so well to the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, that's the man that wrote the book of Romans. That's the kind of love he had for other believers, other Christians. And that's why we're looking at Romans 16, a listing of people that Paul loved. Now, it's not unusual to read in Paul's letters greetings that he sends to individuals here or there. Most of his letters, at least the ones to churches, will send greetings to this person or that, or maybe bodies of people like the elders or the deacons. But here we've got a lot of people. As we've mentioned, 27 names are here. Now, not all of those are in Rome. Some of them are with Paul sending their greetings to them, but that's a lot of names. And I like what the ESV Study Bible says about this fact. Paul warmly greets those he knows in Rome who are involved in ministry, showing the love that existed among Christians. This is not a business enterprise. This is not assignments that have to be fulfilled. This is a family, and it's a family of love. And we're going to see that as we look at these names that are mentioned. Not all of them, but we'll look at a lot of the names that are mentioned there in Romans 16. So let's begin looking at some of those that Paul loved, and he'll tell us why he loved them, at least tell a little bit about it. I'm sure there was a lot more he could have said, but there's a little bit given about some of these people. So in verses 1 and 2, Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. And here Paul begins by talking about a woman, Phoebe. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Phoebe. Now, that's not a name that we're familiar with otherwise, other than this passage right here. But there's been a lot said about Phoebe through the years. In fact, some translations may say a deaconess. I think that's an unfortunate translation. I don't think that's how she's to be considered. The word here is diakonos or diakonia, the feminine form of it. And women were servants of Christ just as men are servants of Christ. For example, Peter in 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, each of you has received a gift and therefore minister it to one another. And the word minister or serve one another, some translations will say, diakonos. And so every Christian is a servant. But here is one woman that really stood out for the things that she did, and he mentions some of that. He says she is a servant of the church. She has really dedicated herself to the saints and that body at that particular location. And she has been a patron of the saints as well as of me, he says. Now, what does he mean by that? Craig Keener, in his New Testament background commentary, gives this definition of the word there, translated as patron or helper, your translation may say. A patron of a religious association was normally a well-to-do person who allowed members of a religious group to meet in his or her home. And we saw that in Acts 12, I believe it is, where Mary has the whole church gathered in her house praying for Peter when it looked like he was about to be executed. We today talk about a patron of the arts. And that means somebody that has a lot of money, usually, and they've donated a lot of that money to make it possible for this concert to be presented or this chair to be established or whatever it may be. And so Phoebe apparently was a well-to-do person and apparently also the one who bore this letter to the church at Rome, because he says, I commend to you, receive her, help her in whatever her needs may be. So this is somebody that Paul loved, and why? Because she was a worker. She was a servant. She was a patron. We read about others in verses 3 through the first part of verse 5. Here are some others that Paul loved. Greet Prisca and Aquila. And when you understand, Prisca is another form of the name Priscilla. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Now, we do know more about Priscilla and Aquila. We encounter them for the first time in Acts chapter 18, where Paul, in coming to Corinth, meets them. They are people that have the same occupation that he has, tent makers, and they began working together in that way, but more importantly, working in the church together. And we see them on other occasions throughout the book of Acts and mentioned here and there in the epistles. So they're pretty well known to most of us. But he says they risked their necks for my life. We don't know what that occasion was. There's nothing referenced about that in the Acts or in the epistles other than this. But Paul says they put themselves on the line. They could have lost much, but it was for my sake, and I appreciate them for that. And he gives another reason for that. He says they have a church in their house. In other words, they have opened their home, and they are allowing others to come in and meet in their home. Again, that was a common practice. There were no church buildings until much later in Christianity. People would generally meet in someone's home, and that would be a larger home, and that would mean a person that had more wealth than the average person, perhaps. So these people, Paul says, I love them, greet them. They have done so much for the kingdom. And we could say this about verses 5 through 15. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, in their commentary on the Bible, just sums up, before we get further into detail on these people, they say none of the names mentioned from Romans 16, 5 through 15 are otherwise known. None of them we know anything more about other than what Paul says right here. And then they go on to make this statement. One wonders at the number of them, considering that the writer had never been at Rome. Paul makes it clear in this letter, I've wanted to come to you. I haven't been able to yet. I'm planning to come. But Paul had never been there. How did he know all these people? Well, Paul was a traveler. Travel was not that uncommon in the first century, as it never has been. And especially when you're talking about Christians that are on fire for the Lord, they're going here and there trying to reach other people for Christ. And that's the explanation. Paul has met them, or maybe has met them, maybe he's just heard of them. But he knows that these are people that are doing a lot for the kingdom of Christ, and that's why he loves them. Now back to the text. Look again at verse 5, the latter part of verse 5. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Your translation may say the first fruits of Achaia. But here is a man who was one of the very early converts. I can remember when I first began my ministry, some of the people that were baptized into Christ, and they still stand out in my memory because it was a way of saying, I'm doing something that is right, I'm serving the Lord, and there are people that are open to the truth. It encouraged me a lot. And here's a new territory, Paul says, the first convert there. And that stuck with him. And although we know nothing more about Epaphroditus, Paul loved him, obviously. He says, greet this man. In verse 6, we find a couple of other people here. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. And I'm going to combine verse 12 as well, because the same word is found in both of those verses. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Now, you'll notice in both verse 6 as well as in verse 12, worked hard. Worked hard. It is from a Greek word that means to work tirelessly. In fact, it actually means to be tired from hard work. It is from a root which I believe, I've not been able to confirm this yet, I believe we get our word copious from it. Or cornucopia, which means an abundance. And here are people that are doing a lot for the Lord. That's the idea. And so We've got these people, Mary, we don't know which Mary, it was a very common name in New Testament times. And then you've got these women in verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa, and most commentators say these were probably twins. They were probably twins. In fact, the Expositor's Bible commentary says this, since their names mean dainty and delicate, that's what Tryphena and Tryphosa translate into, since their names mean dainty and delicate, their Christian convictions had led them to put aside any tendency to live a life of ease. That's what happens when you get on fire for the Lord. You're not content to rest. You want to do all you can for the Lord. And so Paul says, greet these people. They worked hard. I appreciate them. Give them my greetings. And then back to verse 7, chapter 16 and verse 7 of Romans. He mentions here in verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Now again, we know nothing else about them other than this one verse, but there's quite a bit said there, isn't there? The fact that they were Paul's kinsmen, does that mean blood relatives? Maybe. But it could also mean they were simply Jewish in their background. And Paul does use that word kinsman sometimes in that particular way. But also he says that these are people that were in the faith before me. They were in Christ before me. They were well known to the apostles. And why do you think that is? Because they were people that were very dedicated, always could be seen serving the Lord. Of course, the apostles are going to notice people like that that take their faith very seriously. Now in verses 8 through 10, we've got four individuals named that may have all one thing in common. And let's just read verses 8 through 10 and see what Paul says there. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. And greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. And here we've got four names, those first four names that we mentioned, Ampliatus, Urbanus, Stachys, and Apelles. And commentators tell me those are all names that were common to slaves in that day. Now that doesn't mean they were then slaves. Maybe they had by now achieved their freedom. They were now freedmen, you might say. But there were still many who were still slaves that were serving the Lord. And so even though they have been living a life under bondage of a sort, yet they are serving the Lord. They recognize him as their greater master. And then this other one mentioned in verse 10, Urbanus is my fellow worker. And that's translated from a word from which we get our word synergy. Synergos. Soon meaning with, ergos meaning work. And so these are people that are working with me, Paul says. And don't you know that if you were working with Paul, he looked favorably on you. That's one problem he had with John Mark on that first missionary journey. He said, well, that guy left us. He left the work. And Paul was not favorable toward taking him on the second journey. But if you were working with Paul, he loved you. He was all behind you. And he said, greet these people because of what they're doing for the Lord. Look at verse 13. Here's somebody else mentioned by Paul. He says in verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. We could all say that, couldn't we? But maybe that means something special about Rufus. But he says also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. I think I understand what that means. I've had mothers in the faith as well as a mother in the flesh. Women that would watch after me, especially when I was in college, I remember. They would invite us into their home and cook meals for us and, you know, do different things that would just encourage us. And Paul said she was that to me. And what that meant, I don't know exactly. Did she do his laundry occasionally? Did she cook meals for him? Did she take him into her home? Whatever it meant, you can tell Paul is indebted to her. And says, greet this woman because she was a mother to me. And then in verse 23, we're skipping over several names because He doesn't really say anything about some of the names. But in verse 23, we're now in a different part of this section of greetings. And these are people with Paul sending their greetings to the church in Rome. And one of those individuals in verse 23, Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. And when he says host to me, that likely means he took Paul into his home whenever he was there, likely in Corinth, where this letter is being written from. But not just Paul, but the whole church. And that doesn't mean they live in his home, but they meet there in his home. He has opened up his home, just as we saw earlier had happened with another. And this other fellow that he mentions in verse 23, Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now, Erastus is interesting because there is an inscription, and that's what you see on the screen there. This is in the city of Thessalonica. It dates back to the mid-first century. And it has an inscription about Erastus, who was a city official. And so is that corroboration of what Paul says here? Well, probably. I don't think there's 100% certainty on that it's the same individual, but it sure looks like it. And it is interesting because it says, here is a man who, although he was a leading official in Rome, he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's encouraging to know. Well, all of these people, Paul kind of lumps them all together in verse 16. Let's look at Romans 16 and verse 16, and likely you've heard this verse many times. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, what does he mean? He means that we're family. If you find out somebody is a member of Christ's church, they're your family. Greet them warmly. Now, don't take literally holy kiss. You might. I've been in countries where they do take that literally, and that's fine. If I try to give you a holy kiss, you may be calling the police. I don't know. But we can compensate in other ways. We can give a holy handshake, a holy hug, or whatever, a fist bump. You know, whatever it is, we just receive one another with obvious, genuine love. And that's what Paul is saying all throughout this chapter, isn't it? These are family. Give them my greetings because I love them. And you should feel the same way toward those that you love. It's been my privilege to do a few mission trips through the years, all of them in Central or South America. But on each of these occasions, I have found that these are people that are just like I am. I mean, their language is different, their dress sometimes is different, their menu is different. A lot of things you might say, boy, they're very different. In fact, this is a trip to Ecuador I took in 2018. Our oldest son had organized this trip, a medical mission trip, and I was very thankful to go with him and his family on that trip. I won't mention which one is him. You'll figure that out, I guess. But I found these are people I love because we're brethren in Christ. And isn't that true? There's more that unites us than there is that makes us different. There is more that unites us than what makes us different if we are in Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. And that song we often sing, blessed be the tie that binds, that ought to be a song that is in our hearts, that guides our actions. And you know, we don't have to leave this country to have experiences like this. We had it this afternoon downstairs. We had it again outside later in the afternoon. We can have it again after worship is dismissed. We don't have to rush off. We can visit with each other and delight in each other's company because that's what a family is. We are family. We love each other. We're here for each other. And if I'm talking to somebody that is not yet a Christian, you don't have to stay on the outside. You can come in. It's not our invitation, although it is. It's the Lord's invitation. The Lord says, come on in. I paid the price. I died on the cross. I shed my blood so that your sins can be forgiven. You can be part of the family of God. How does that happen? Simply, you confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You repent of your sins and turn away from them. You're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That puts you into the family of Christ. It washes away your sins. You're where you need to be. Now stay there. Now live as a Christian. And when you meet other Christians, whether it be here or wherever it may be, welcome them, greet them, their family. If you need to be forgiven of sins you've committed as an erring Christian, you need to repent of those. You need to pray for forgiveness. We'll be glad to do whatever we can to help. So if we can help you, please come as we stand together and sing.
Seated. If you weren't able to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, it still remains prepared at this time. If you need a communion set, if you'll raise your hand, someone will bring you one. And we're going to sing song number 379, if you're using a hymn book. If That Is in Love, we'll sing this song to prepare our minds and observe the Lord's Supper once more.
Why?
Does anyone need a communion set? If so, raise your hand. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy Son who came to this earth, who went through the sacrifices and the trials and temptations and the beatings and the pain, the agony that he suffered for our sins, Heavenly Father. And we partake, those who partake of the cup, the bread at this time, we pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll do it in a manner that is well pleasing to thee, and they'll realize the anguish that he suffered for them and for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the blood that was shed through the cruel beatings and the thorns placed upon his head and then the nails driven through his hand and the spear that was inserted into his side. We pray, Heavenly Father, as those that are partaking of the cup at this time will remember that sacrifice and the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they take it in a manner that is well-pleasing to thee. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us, and especially the Heavenly Father, at this time we realize that living in this country is one of the greatest blessings that can be had upon this earth. It has its faults and its fallacies, but Heavenly Father, that we appreciate the freedoms that we have here, especially the freedom to worship thee and to work as we please and make a living for thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, as the monies are given back, we pray that they will be used in a way and manner that will be uplifting to the kingdom here and the world over. Bless those that are making decisions for the use of this money, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you bow with me? Father, as we come before you now, we thank you for the great day that we've had, the great fellowship we've had, and the lessons that you've given us. The lesson of love that we got tonight, let us use that lesson this week for our edification, that we may love each other that the same way that you have loved us. You've commanded it, let us go forth without in the world and let people know Christian love and how that you love. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for when we fail you. In your name we pray. Amen. I wasn't given any additional announcements, so you're dismissed. Have a good night. Have a great week.